first of all, I want to say it's so good to see everybody again. And there's new people here that I don't really know, but I'm not Jay. In case you came to hear Jay, I'm not Jay. I'm Kathy, and I'm very, very blessed to be able to come back here and have an opportunity to share with you some of the things that God has put on my heart. And today I'm going to talk about, it's a very little word, but it has big, enormous implications. It's the word, but. It's a really big but. Now be honest. How do you spell that word? B-U-T-T.
Wrong.
It's B-U-T. I'm not going to be talking about anatomy. I'm going to be talking about the word but, which you hear all the time. When you use that word but, you're expressing some kind of doubt or disagreement with something that somebody has already said or some claim that has been made. And I hear it all the time in my counseling. I hear it all the time when I try to tell someone, you know, God loves you. Yeah, I know, but. Or God has forgiven you of everything. Yeah, I know, but. I'm the exception. Or my sin is worse than anybody else's. God could never have forgiven me. And that big but becomes a barrier in their lives. It becomes a barrier. It keeps them from receiving God's love, receiving God's truth, and even receiving God's forgiveness. The word but is everywhere in the Bible. If you open up your Bible, you'll see it everywhere. And I want to tell you that you need to pay attention to whenever you see that word. Some buts are very good news. For instance, the Bible is very clear that we are condemned because of our sin. We're doomed to spend eternity away from God because of our sin. And then here it comes. But God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. But God pours out his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. No matter what it is that we have done in our lives, they could be big things, little things, but God has poured out his grace. And the people, you see it in people's faces, you know they know what it means to be forgiven. You see, they've been set free from guilt and condemnation. They've been set free to experience joy and love in their lives. They're set free to be patient with other people, to love them just the way they are, to accept them just as they are, And they're set free to forgive, just the way they themselves have been forgiven by God himself. They want to pass it on. Now, some buts in the Bible are not good news. They're bad news, actually. And that's the but I'm going to be talking about today. I want you to listen to Jesus' words. I'm taking this from Matthew 6, 14, verse 14 and 15, and I'll be reading it from the New Living Translation, which is a little bit different, I'm sure, than your Pew Bible. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But, big word, but, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. Now that's bad news, isn't it? That's bad news, especially if we're holding a grudge against somebody or we have some unforgiveness in our heart. If we receive God's forgiveness, which comes to us freely and abundantly, God expects us to give it away freely and abundantly. But if we don't, there is consequences. Now, I'll be honest. Forgiveness is hard. When someone hurts me or offends me, I'm not quick to forgive. If anything, I would rather retaliate, you know, get them back the same way they got me. Like the time I found out a church acquaintance was telling lies about me behind my back. I was incredibly hurt and very angry. I knew, I mean, would I? She deserved to not be forgiven. She lied about me. She talked to other people about me. And I had no reason that I wanted to forgive her. Instead, I nursed a grudge. You know what that is? I can keep this mental list and you write down everything that that person has ever done. And the list just gets longer and longer and longer. And you drag this list. Every time you see this person, you want to run away from them. You have no intention of interacting with them. Surely, there must be a limit to forgiveness, isn't there? I mean, in today's scripture, we're going to look at, again, in Matthew chapter 18 now. We're going to start verse 21. And the question is, how many times do we have to forgive someone who hurts us over and over again? Starting in verse 21, chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Now, to be truthful, Peter thought he was going to impress Jesus because he knew that the rabbis only said you just have to forgive somebody three times. They offend you a fourth time, well, you don't have to have anything to do with them. In good conscience, you can walk away from it. But Jesus was not impressed, even though Peter raised it all the way up to seven times. I mean, seven times. Thinking of a person who has offended you, having them say the same thing over and over seven times. I mean, that's extraordinary, don't you think? But Jesus said 70 times seven. He was saying that there is no limit. Think about that for a minute. There's no limit to how many times you forgive somebody. No matter how many times they offend you, you keep forgiving them over and over and over again. Why? Why? Well, if you think about it, there's probably nothing that anyone else can do to us that is greater than our own sin. God. And God forgives us, so who are we? Who are we to withhold forgiveness from someone else? Think about that. Now, continuing in Matthew 18 and verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with all his family, and everything he owned, in order to pay this debt. But the man fell down before his master. He begged him, please, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Now, this servant's debt was astronomical. In today's money, it would have been $20 million. Now, I don't know how anyone gets into debt for $20 million. But if he goes to prison in order to repay this debt, well, he's going to be there for many lifetimes, not just one lifetime. This king was ready to throw him into prison and to have him pay the entire debt. But this man fell down before his master, and he pleaded, please be patient with me. And then the king did the most amazing thing. He just said, okay, debt erased. Now think about your bank calling you tomorrow to say to you, oh, someone else paid your mortgage. No more mortgage payments. Or, better yet, your credit card debt is gone, totally paid off. I mean, you would be relieved, wouldn't you? I think I'd be doing a dance. No debt. It would be amazing. But what the servant did next was very interesting. Now we're looking at verse 28. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Please be patient with me, and I will pay it. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. What was wrong with this guy? I mean, compared to his own debt, this was chump change. In one of the Bibles, it calls one guy owed 10,000 bags of gold, and this guy was only a handful of silver in comparison. And just like the very first guy, he fell on his face and he begged for mercy. But this guy was not like the merciful king at all. He refused to forgive his debt and have him thrown in prison. Here's an interesting thing. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. You see, even if we do not see it in ourselves, even if we think we're justified in holding our grudge or withholding forgiveness, but other people see it differently. But if you call yourself a Christian, they know that something is wrong. Continuing in verse 32. And the king called in the men he'd forgiven and he said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Should you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" And the angry king said, sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. And then Jesus, this last verse, finishes with these chilling words. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And God says, I'm a God of mercy. I pour out forgiveness freely and abundantly. And it doesn't matter how far you have fallen. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter at all. I forgive freely and abundantly. But, and here's the big but, I expect you to forgive others that same way I forgave you. Now, here's the bad news. If you don't, I will treat you the way you treat others. Now, that should give us all pause, don't you think? I mean, think about it. How do you treat others? Are you easily offended? Do you hold grudges? Are you quick to criticize? Are you quick to condemn someone? Ouch. Because if that's how we treat others, that's how God treats us. It's like God throws us into prison to be tortured forever by our own bitterness. Because Jesus knows that bitterness destroys us from the inside out. Have you ever spent a sleepless night thinking about somebody's offense? It goes through your mind over and over. You toss, you turn, you think of what you could have said, what you should have said, and the thing just keeps going on and on. You get no rest. Or sometimes you get headaches and stomach pains because you're all stressed out about this relationship that's out of kilter. That's what bitterness does to us physically. And then bitterness cuts us off from people. Heck, who wants to hang around somebody who's resentful and judgmental and critical and always near? Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. It just cuts you off. But here's the saddest part of all. Bitterness cuts us off from God. We know, especially if we sit here in church every Sunday, we know what Jesus wants us to do. And we don't want to. Because that person just doesn't deserve it, do they? They didn't even apologize. So we have a little trouble praying. Every time we close our eyes, the thing goes through our mind. We see this person and we just get all tensed up. Or we avoid other Christians because they're smiling full of joy. And we're like, we know what God wants us to do and we don't want to. After a while, God feels very far away. The only way to be set free from this prison of bitterness, the only way is for us to forgive. And unfortunately, for some of us, it lasts a lifetime. We can't bring ourselves to forgive. Well, going back to my experience with this woman in my church, I felt bitterness every time I saw her. She would walk in a room, I would walk out. And if anyone said something nice about her, I went, ew, I don't know that person. Let me tell you who I really know. I couldn't pray. I had so much trouble carrying on a conversation with Jesus because I knew he wanted me to forgive her. I didn't want to. My big but was she doesn't deserve it because she didn't apologize. I realized that God felt more and more distant. I missed him. I wanted to have this intimacy with him that I had always seemed to have. But now there was this big but in between. And so I said, okay, God, I don't want to forgive her, but I ask you to change my heart so that I want to forgive her. I want you to change my heart so that I will be willing to forgive her. And then I need you, Jesus, I need you to give me the power to actually forgive, to let this go. Well, eventually, that kind of prayer worked. I didn't feel all of this every time I saw her. In fact, I didn't feel anything. I was kind of neutral, you know? It wasn't good and it wasn't bad. And then Jesus said to me one morning, he said, well, that's good, Kathy, but not good enough. I got one more thing I want you to do. So you go, what? I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. What? What is it? I want you to show your forgiveness to this person. I want you to demonstrate how much you have forgiven this person. I want you to just kill her with kindness, you know, just love all over her. What? Wait a minute. What if she lies about me again? What if she offends me all over again? I mean, I'm not sure I can handle this. And Jesus said, forgive her again and again and again. That's what I do for you. That's what Jesus does for me. When we confess our sins, when we experience sin, big sins, little sins, every time we do the same thing, over and over and over, unless you're different than me. No? Yes? We do the same thing over and over, and we say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, and Jesus does. His forgiveness flows freely and abundantly beyond our imagination. And when we forgive the way that we have been forgiven, guess what? The world out there, who may not know who Jesus is, they're going to go, what? And they're going to see Jesus in you. Because the world can only see what we do, can only see how we act towards one another. Now, you may remember the Amish community in Lancaster. Back in 2006, 13 young girls from Nickel Mines were taken hostage in their little one-room schoolhouse. A man came in and threatened them, and then he ended up shooting five of the girls before he killed himself. The whole community was devastated. Did they feel anger and resentment? Did they feel like they could retaliate and wanted to do something? yes. But they did, we did the unthinkable. Instead of being consumed with their own pain and suffering, instead of being overcome by bitterness and unforgiveness, they made a very costly decision. They chose to not only forgive the shooter for what he had done to their children, but they demonstrated their forgiveness and their love to his family. They went in, they fed them, they comforted them, they embraced them. They demonstrated the love and the forgiveness of God in a way that the world was shocked to see. Now I'm sure they still wrestle with resentment and bitterness because it does bubble up when you least expect it. But God, and there it is again, but God is with us in the midst of our pain and our struggling. God comes to us and he gives us the desire to forgive, and he also gives us the power to forgive. And when we choose to obey what God has called us to do, the world sees Jesus. So what about you? I don't know all of you. I don't know if you know firsthand what the forgiveness of God feels like. I don't know if you're carrying around a burden of guilt and condemnation, but you don't have to, because God is ready and willing to pour out his forgiveness upon you abundantly, freely. All he needs for you to do is to confess, "I'm a sinner. I have fallen short," and repent. "Do that anymore, God. I don't want to do that." And all God needs to hear is your voice calling out to him, and he will pour out his forgiveness on you abundantly and freely. Now, others up here are sitting in, and the whole time I've been talking about forgiveness, somebody's name has been going through your mind. There is someone in your life that needs your forgiveness, but you don't want to. And you toss and turn at night, you relive the offense over and over, and your insides are growing like crazy. Now, you may not feel like forgiving, but the key is forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision to obey what God has called you to do and to make the choice to forgive. And if you don't think you can, God is waiting for you to call upon him and say, "Hey, help, Jesus, I can't do this." He will come to you. He will pour out his grace and his power and his mercy so that you can go to that person and you can say, "You know, you hurt me. You said some things about me that were just not true. But I forgive you. I release you." That's when you know true freedom. That's when you know what it means to be free of guilt and condemnation, free of bitterness and anxiety. That's when you are free to forgive freely and abundantly, just like Jesus forgave you. But, and here it is, if you don't, you may be imprisoned by your bitterness for a lot longer than you would want. So let us pray. So here we stand, Lord. We're people who are broken and messy. We all have relationships in our lives that cause difficulty. They rub against us. They challenge us. They say things that are hurtful. And we've been battered by some of these relationships. But God, we want to change all of that. We want to be set free from that stuff that's been holding us in bondage. We want to be empowered to forgive, to release that other person from our hurt and our judgment. And so we call upon you, Jesus. First, we say thank you because you poured out your love, your grace, and your mercy, and your forgiveness upon us. It's a